Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and this week, as Pete Donaldson is away on one of his many, many holidays that he seems to take every week, I think he just wants to escape the podcast, we have American Pete. The wackier...
Less professional, more scruffy,
more youthful alternative.
Oh, wow.
Welcome, Pete. How
thanks. Well, thanks for having me back. It's wonderful to be here in Sendai and joining you in the studio.
Yeah, we're in the studio today, and it's the first time I've seen you since April.
My God, it's been a while.
A lot has happened since then.
For you?
No, you've had a good... You're still doing Premiere 2, Twitch.
I am, and I recently went to the United States for seeing my family and friends.
And that was the first time in...
Oh, about 5 years.
Jesus, Pete, that's a long time.
I know. Well, there was a pandemic that kind of slowed things down. But speaking of big vacations and traveling abroad, welcome back to Japan after spending 6 months in the United Kingdom?
6 weeks.
That's what it was. Felt like a long time, but welcome back home.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. The holiday went through different stages. The first, like, 2-3 weeks, I was like... I want to stay in the UK. Here is a perfect place. And then by the last week, lots of things had gone wrong. And I was like, okay, it's time to go to the place where everything works now.
Yeah, it's time for the familiarity. But it's a two-sided question, which doesn't make a lot of sense when I phrase it that way. But the first side of the question is, what were you most excited about having when you got back to the United Kingdom, other than like seeing your family?
Cider.
Cider?
Yeah, because we can't really get it here apart from Aomori, right?
Or the Full Monty down in Yokohama.
There is a good place.
It's quite far.
If you ever end up in Tokyo, guys, or rather Yokohama, there's an amazing cider. Is it a specialist in cider?
It is a specialist in cider.
And they have a really good range.
Yeah.
And Pete, myself, Ian and Connor had a great night out there last year.
Bangers and mash, fish and chips.
We did eat British feed.
Scotch egg.
Mm.
The really, Full Monty.
Probably the best pub in the Tokyo area.
I think it's actually my favorite pub, yeah.
Shame it's so bloody far away.
Yeah, it's quite far, especially from Sendai. So, ciders were something that you had missed. Anything else in particular, like food-wise?
I mean, I had an awful lot of worrying about the fish and chips.
I knew it.
It's fried breakfast, you know, egg, bacon, sausage, which I had like nearly every day of the trip.
Ah, it's awesome.
And that is why I put on about 3 kilograms while I was away.
Well, you're going to lose 3 kilograms
you bet
back
I am.
In Japan.
You bet I am.
What about the famous, did you hit up Spoons, mate?
No.
No.
Wetherspoons?
Yeah. Would you recommend that to anybody, or is it...
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
It's a good... Like, when you're a student, you don't have much money. It's perfect.
But a classic pub is much better.
Well, like Wetherspoons, they're basically just a big pub that can fit lots of people in, and the drinks are really cheap. But there's no sort of really nice atmosphere, and the best thing about a pub is that sort of roaring fireplace, the coziness within, right? The pub garden. Wetherspoons, it's just... You know, a bit of a wild... You go in, it's like the Wild West. People hanging off the lights. People all over the place. So it's a lot sort of... So it's a pretty rough place.
All right, I'll stick with the classic pubs then. But yes, on the other side of my question, when you finally arrived back in Japan, what were you most excited to be welcomed with? Could be food, could be culture, could be anything.
Well, it was you, Pete.
Okay.
Just seeing you
thanks.
Brought warmth to my heart.
Yeah, right.
And convenience stores.
That's the one.
You know, I hate it. It's a cliche, but like the idea of just... You know, you go outside into any city in Japan, any street, and there's just a shop open 24 hours a day. If you don't like that one, if you don't like Lawson, just go to the 7-Eleven next door. And like every street in Sendai, right, we've got like three convenience stores within a 2-minute radius, say.
Sometimes I was walking last night, you have Lawson's, like double Lawson's within a block of each other.
Double Lawson's.
It's like, this one does all out of the chicken I like. I'll go to the other Lawson.
It is good, and I've done that
it's
many
great,
times.
It's yep. It's a good spot.
But it's good to be back. It's good to be in the studio as well. It's sad to think the studio just sort of sat here alone, friendless, while I was away. And I expected to come back and find that an earthquake might have knocked some stuff over. But it's fine. There was an earthquake this morning, though.
Yeah, they woke me up at 5 a.m. That was
woke
quite...
me up, yeah. It wasn't fun. It's one of those things where if you have an earthquake in the middle of the night, and I find you have earthquakes at night more than during the day.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
In my experience, and it sort of feels like a dreamlike state. You're not sure if there was an earthquake or not.
This one I was sure. It was quite hectic. You know, and I think it's been, I was looking this up, Sendai or the area around this kind of Tohoku area has had a lot of earthquakes the past few years.
Well, it is like the most seismically active place in Japan, and it's the only real downside to Sendai that we do have more earthquakes here than pretty much any other place in Japan. So that's
quite tough. Frightening. So please take care of yourself. I remember the one that happened 3 or 4 months ago, shook the whole studio, something proper.
I feel like crying whenever I think about that.
All right, let's keep it on happy thoughts. So you missed convenience stores. That's what you missed the most.
It's boring, I know, but like and vending machines that work. But you know, it's nice to be back overall. Things work, things get done, and I love Japan. And I've sort of, you know, on this podcast, some of you guys might remember, like, in sort of February, March, I was like, oh, I'm so sick of Japan. But, like, you go away for 4 weeks, and then you sort of appreciate it a lot more, right? And I come back, and I'm like, wow, the scenery is amazing here. I love walking down the streets at night, all lit up at summer. Like, there's so many good things about Japan. You appreciate it a lot more being away, in the same way that I appreciate the UK a heck of a lot more when I'm not there as well.
Yeah, I think for me, visiting America was awesome. There was familiar parts of it that I hadn't seen, especially where I'm from in Kansas.
What did you miss?
Well, from America?
About America, yeah.
I think for me, it's the food. I genuinely love American, just awful, delicious, like tacos. I think I had Mexican food 6 of the 10 days I was there.
Jesus.
It was amazing. Of course, I miss my friends and things, but...
Not as much as tacos. Yeah.
But like, it's crazy because the longer I'm in America, the more I realize this is not my home after 10 years in Japan.
Right.
And I really miss the walkable streets, the public transportation,
you're
the cleanliness.
You can't walk the streets of America?
No.
Oh, well, because like the roads are really big. And
they're massive.
It's more of a car sort of culture, right?
Other than a few like cities in particular, New York or Boston or some of those, Philadelphia maybe, it is so big and the highways are so massive that you not only have to have a car, it was actively depressing to see that many parking lots.
Right.
Across, you know, these... And there's a lot of cool shops I went to and a lot of neat bodegas and bars and pubs and... But they're just 25 minutes apart from each place you go.
It's just nice, isn't it? These walkable cities.
Beautiful. But America's cool. Glad to be back. Glad I got to visit. American Airlines is terrible.
What happened? You had some issues?
They canceled my flight twice.
I had that on the way back here.
You know what's worse, though? I'm going to one-up you here. In order to get back into Japan, maybe you had this experience. I had to prove, coming from America, that I was COVID negative.
Well, so did I, yeah. Well, you have to, yeah.
That's cool. I get that part. But the test was $350 in America.
Whoa.
And it lasts for 72 hours. And the airline, they screwed up my flights twice.
Oh,
so I had to take another test. So it cost me $700.
No.
Yeah.
See, my flight got delayed by a day, and I was worried about that as well. I think I had like a few hours left, 2 hours to spare.
Lucky.
When I checked in and got into Narita Airport, I had 2 hours before it was to run out, basically.
Mine was not so fortunate, and so...
When did you have the second test?
For like, I got the test the night before my flight, and then they messaged me like 10 minutes after I got the swab, and they're like, your flight's been moved to the next day. And I was like, that's cool. No problem. The next day was absolute madness at the airport. People were literally throwing their luggage on the floor, arguing and screaming in line. It was a hell on earth.
Kansas life.
Austin, Texas.
Austin life.
Yeah, that's the one. And so they told me like, anybody who's flying to Dallas, your flight's been canceled. And I was like, oh, it's me. And I asked them, I said, I'm really sorry. I got to get home because this COVID test. And they're like, sir, that plane's not going anywhere. I said, okay. But can you please give me like an apartment or some entertainment?
Not an apartment, a hotel. Right.
I guess that's
what. Well, yes, sir. Yeah. We can give you an apartment. No problem.
Here's your house right here. They offered me no hotels, no food, no transportation back to like the city. And it was just, I'm sorry, sir, you're on your own.
Jesus.
And luckily I have friends in Austin and they took care of me. But like, that kind of suddenness was shocking. Mm. So yeah, the next flight after that was 3 days later. So
Jesus, but what? Oh God, it's like that with everywhere at the moment. All flights
are
stuffed.
And I get it.
The airlines are kind of coming back online after 2 years of just nothingness. So yeah, it was chaos in Europe as well. And kind of put me off flying for a while. I'm not planning to leave Japan until at least sort of December now. So
you got to admit, the Shinkansen still ranks number one for travel.
It does. And also, like, just arriving here at Narita was really smooth.
Yep.
Did you have the app as well?
That was amazing.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be stuck at Narita Airport indefinitely. I was through it 20 minutes, yep. No problem.
And it was, like, super straightforward with people guiding you and helping you.
It's really encouraging stuff. Unfortunately, I read this week that because COVID cases are up, the Japanese government is once again taking a step back from the idea of tourism. So that's a bit rubbish.
Well, at least we made it back in time, so... I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But that's why this podcast is so valuable. It's as close as you get to Japan without actually being here.
That's our tagline. And we got a story this week, guys, from Jesse. He begins, what I like about you coming on the podcast, Pete, is because everyone addresses Chris and Pete.
I know, it's quite nice.
It's nice and easy. If your name was Connor or Jeremy the Anime Man, this wouldn't work. Jesse says, hello, Karaage Kun Chris and Panasonic Pete. My name is Jesse, a former Jet from Arizona, US, from 2016 to 2018. I had the pleasure of spending two wonderful years as an elementary junior high school ALT in the beautiful town of Noto in Ishikawa. You know this place for its ridiculous squid statue. Yes. They spent $200,000 of COVID relief money on a squid statue.
What?
We'll visit it one day. It'll be good fun. I also, the only other thing I know about Noto is it has good beef called Noto Bifu.
Noto Bifu.
And I find that really irritating to say. When you're like, oh yeah, Noto Bifu. It's like, not beef?
Not vegan?
Such an inconvenient name. Anyway, I was able to attend and participate in the many festivals across the Noto Peninsula and Hokuriku region throughout the summer months. With rural festivals, there's this tradition of yobare, where some residents put up lanterns outside to welcome people to what is essentially a never-ending house party. At one such gathering, I met a man who was in the local Nihonshu sake business, and after drinking at the yobare we were at, he offered to take us to a similar gathering at the local sake brewery. When we arrived, we were greeted by a large crowd of heavily tattooed guys who were well on their merry making way. As sushi and sake were passed around, I spoke to the man beside me, who told me they were in fact all ex-Yakuza members. I asked what he and his friends did now, and he told me they mostly owned or worked for ex-Yakuza owned ramen shops in the Kanazawa area. Just as we were really getting on, one man stood up stripped naked, proving that they were once the real deal. The man that brought us caught on that some of the friends I was with were a little uncomfortable and said it was time for fireworks. I said goodbye to the very friendly Yakuza, ex-Yakuza, that I was chatting up and followed everyone outside. We were almost at the main area of floats and food stalls, but before enjoying the rest of the night, the local Nihonshu businessman insisted we trade shirts. I was taken aback but also drunk and happily gave him my former cycling club shirt that he was, for some reason, so very interested in. Love everything you guys do. Jesse from Arizona. Now that is a pretty cool experience, and I don't know if you know, but like a lot of festivals in Japan, have a lot of links with Yakuza.
Mm.
And I'm not entirely sure why that is, but if you go to like a festival, a lot of the stalls that pop up doing things like okonomiyaki, pancakes, or takoyaki, they are owned or rented out by the Yakuza, and they make a lot of money from it.
Yeah, and also, I guess, it's this kind of this legend or belief that on times of extreme need or charity, Yakuza families or the Yakuza groups will be some of the first to deliver aid.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of a weird, obviously they're heavily tied in with criminal activity, but it's also like a community thing as well.
Yeah, it's a very strange relationship. Whenever I talk to Ryotaro, you know, about Yakuza, mm-hmm. He says that, you know, a lot of Japanese people have no sort of real opinions on Yakuza. They kind of like that they keep other foreign criminal organizations at bay, like Chinese triad gangs, for example, because there's other gangs operating in Japan. And he sort of said that a lot of Japanese people like that they have the homegrown Yakuza keeping them out, but they do have these sort of position, like, the if you look at the Asakusa festival, really big festival in Tokyo, you know, the Yakuza guys are heavily involved in that, and they're there on the parade topless with their tattoos on full display. So it's a strange relationship that the sort of people in Japan have with the Yakuza.
Kind of makes sense. What's that famous saying that I always forget? It's like, the devil you know is better than the one you don't, or something like that. So it's,
right.
Yeah, I get it. But my favorite part of this story, personally, was Jesse said, you know, they were at this festival. They met a guy who knew a guy who, let's have sushi, let's have sake.
Mm.
I think if you live in Japan for even a year, it's very likely you'll have your own amazing story of some random stranger you met. And I always think that's pretty cool about Japan. Like, everyone walks away with their own unique stories and experiences.
Well, just like your teaching video we put out a few months ago.
That was my segue. No, that's not what I meant. But you know what I mean, though? It's like, I think it's
some
a cool part.
Certainly some stories there. If you missed that one, guys. Of course, we did it on the podcast, actually, and then we ported it over to video.
Yeah, that's right.
Go and watch Pete talk about his 10 years of teaching in Japan.
But me aside, but I mean, like, it's always cool to hear other foreigners' experiences about this chance meeting they had at a bar that they where they omotenashi, or the hospitality of a Japanese person or family, did something neat for them.
Yeah.
I really like that, and it's cool that Jesse had a very unique experience.
I think that is pretty awesome, and yeah, hopefully this year, because obviously during COVID a lot of the festivals have been shut down.
That's right.
So I think this year is the first year in since 2019 that they're all going to happen again. So
that's actually quite nice.
Have you been to many yourself
before this whole pandemic? Yeah, I'd like to go to a lot. And in fact, isn't there a famous one in Sendai, the Tanabata Festival?
It's all right. It's kind of cool, but it's not like dynamic and exciting. Like, there's other festivals where they like dress up and just slaughter each other in a field.
Oh, well, like, let's not go to that one.
And here in the Tanabata festivals, they make these big floats and they hang them from the roof of the shopping mall. There's probably more to it than that.
I hope so, but I
can't tell.
Supposed to be here.
I mean, I've lived here all these years, and that's all I've really seen of it. And there's food stalls and things like that. It's a good atmosphere, but like some festivals, they get really into it. I went to one festival on the outskirts of Sendai with Ryotaro, where they make a big fire, and it's sort of in winter, and they take all their clothes off, and then they just dance around the fire, more or less naked, in the freezing cold.
What?
It felt more like some sort of cult ritual experience, but it was pretty cool. That's the most recent festival I've been to a few years ago.
Wow. I think my favorite was the Nagaoka Fireworks Festival.
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest fireworks festivals in Japan.
Yeah. But like Akita, Yamagata, Niigata, they all have incredible fireworks displays, right? In the UK, a fireworks display is like a 20-second event. It's like, oh, yeah, it goes. And then in Japan, it goes on for like 2 hours.
It's a lot.
I couldn't believe it, sitting there for 2 hours watching half of Japan get blown up.
It's great.
It felt like the Vietnam War. Like,
carpet
bombing half of Kamiyata. Honestly, it was insane. And they had this, they round it off with like the mega firework.
Yeah.
It's like a 20 kiloton missile, and they launch it up into the sky.
It's like Lord of the Rings. It's great.
It blows the whole sky up.
Oh, I love
incredible.
It.
Incredible, honestly. Some of the best fireworks you'll ever see. Got a story this week, and it's a story about food.
Ooh.
And it includes my good old favourite food challenge, the Wankasorba Knee Challenge.
What
do you know about Wankasorba, Pete?
Only what you've told me, which my knowledge of it is limited to the fact that it started in Iwate, is that right?
Yes, in Morioka.
Morioka, yeah. And you basically get endless tiny bowls of soba that you shovel down your throat as fast as possible, but there's a time limit, and it's like if you reach 100, you have some good fortune, or maybe that's just a personal goal, but I believe you've done one or two videos challenging folks.
Yeah, I did it with Connor earlier this year, and it didn't go well, because he won.
Oh,
son
what?
Of a bitch. God damn it.
Did you eat beforehand?
I did have a lasagna.
What?
I was very stupid.
A lasagna?
Right. If you ever do Wankasorba, guys, rule of thumb, don't eat a lasagna beforehand.
That's like the heaviest thing you can eat.
Yeah, but the Wankasorba challenge was at 5 p.m. I needed something to eat. I think it was like 11 a.m. So I went to a coffee shop, had a lasagna. I thought, this will stretch my stomach.
Sure it will.
And then the lasagna will be gone. So by the time the Wankasorba comes, my stomach will be thrice as big. I'll pack in more. But what happened was I ate a lasagna and then my stomach was just full of lasagna.
Yes, and you failed science class somewhere along the way.
It wasn't good. So don't do that. And then Connor won, and I was very sad. But
that's my knowledge of Wankasorba.
Yeah, Wanko is the little bowl that the soba noodles come in.
Ah, naruhodo.
So kaiten sushi, conveyor belt sushi, is a big thing in Japan, as we all know. And don't ever do it, because the sushi isn't overly nice once you've had real sushi. Now, there's Wankasorba conveyor belt.
Oh.
In Tokyo, which seems like a terrible idea. It's the first ever Wankasorba conveyor belt restaurant in Japan. It's in Kabukicho. The meal costs 3,300 yen, about $24. And for that, you get 40 minutes, which includes as much soba as you can eat, along with the green onions, wasabi and ginger, while other condiments like seaweed and radish are priced at 100 yen. And the idea is you can sort of see how much Wankasorba you can eat. Basically. Now, the traditional way of doing it is you have a member of staff quite literally stand over you, pouring the soba for you, taunting you along the way. And this idea being they can save money by not having that.
Yeah.
It just comes on a conveyor belt, which isn't quite as cool. But if you can't leave Tokyo, it's a good alternative, right? Rather than coming all the way to Iwate.
No, I'm going to plant my flag as I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I think that Japan, one of the cool things about living here or visiting here is that there are destinations you can go to experience unique things, right?
Right.
And I think it's, yeah, but I don't know if Wankasorba, you can have amazing soba in various places, anywhere in the country. But I like the idea that you go to this small restaurant or this specific place and there's the charm of the person, like, you know, helping you do it and doing the things. I feel like it's like, putting it in a conveyor belt takes all that charm away.
It does, it does. And, I mean, that's the reason I don't like conveyor belt sushi as well, because the fish isn't locally sourced. It's just from somewhere that's rubbish, and the fish is usually quite cheap cuts with little flavour to them. And once you've had proper sushi, you can't go back. You can't do it. So I think it's a good point. And I think it's sad that it'll probably stop a lot of people from coming to Iwate and trying the real thing and experiencing the real thing. I mean, it's only 2 hours north of Tokyo.
Can I ask you a question? Is the Wankasorba actually, it's not for the taste, right? Like, it's not about, like, this amazing delicacy. It's more about the atmosphere and the challenge and the fun of it.
Exactly. The soba itself is okay. You have the first 10 bowls and you're like, oh, this isn't bad. And then you get past that and you want to die and you never want soba again. But like, you know, you don't do it for the flavor. You do it for the culture and
sushi
for beating Connor.
I can get still. I'm a Sushiro, which is a famous conveyor belt sushi place. I can still dine there because maybe my palate is still underdeveloped. But I feel like you can get some decent to low-grade sushi. But if Wankasorba is my goal, I don't think I'd ever crave it, you know?
No.
So I'd rather just make a trip to say, let's go to, you know, Morioka and do the real thing and also see some sights.
Exactly. I'd say if you come to Japan, it's 2 hours, about 2.5 hours north of Tokyo by bullet train to Morioka. Make a day of it. Have a day trip. Have some Wankasorba. And the good thing about Morioka is there's three noodle dishes, right? Wankasorba, Neimen, which is kind of this horrible dish. It's just cold noodles, not a fan.
Don't they put watermelon in it?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, that one's good. I love that one.
As someone that likes savoury food, it's got this horrible sweet taste. And then they've got Jar Jar Men, which is like this sort of spaghetti bolognese style dish. But you've got those three noodle dishes. So come up with an empty stomach. Don't eat lasagna. Go to Morioka and make a day of it. Maybe do Wang Soba first and then go and eat the other
expand
two dishes.
Your stomach first
and then eat the other two noodle dishes. But that's a cool little trip, right? Once upon a time, do you know this TV show, what's it called, Why'd You Come to Japan? It's called.
Of course. Yeah,
shit, what's the title of it? Why can't it stop coming to me?
It's very much that, but just not, there's a Japanese name for it.
Yeah,
but it's they interview people at the airport or at certain famous hotspots.
Yeah, so you arrive at the airport, jet lag, destroyed, dead, and then a Japanese TV crew will basically pounce on you and be like, "Where are you from? What are you doing? Let's film you." And if you say you're doing something interesting, they'll follow you while you do that, and you can become a mini TV celebrity. You can have your 5 minutes of fame in Japan. And a few years ago, a German dude, he came to Japan, and they were like, "What are you doing?" And he went, "Well, I watched abroad in Japan, Wang Soba, so I want to go there." And so they followed him there. They played, and while he was like traveling on the train, they showed a montage of me eating this bloody Wang Soba, and then they followed him going and doing it. And that was really cool. Like, this
did he
guy,
do a good job? Did he?
I think he did pretty well. I think he ate 100.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, on Japanese TV. So,
and now he can go to Tokyo and do it.
And now we can do it from Kabukicho and Shinjuku. No effort required. But
yeah.
Still, if you can't leave Tokyo, if you're in Tokyo for a very short time, amusement Wang Soba, Kuru Kuru Wanko, it's called. Lots of lots of wanko in there.
Yeah.
It's in Kabukicho in central Shinjuku. Give it a shot. But if you get the chance, do go to Morioka, and I promise it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the fax machine, with your comments, stories, and questions.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Okay, I've got a couple of faxes here. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And we're back with the fax machine. What is the first story we've got? First email we've got?
I like this. You're right. Hi again, Chris and Pete. It's great. They know me. I've just moved back to the UK after 15 years in Spain. Anyway, I'm enjoying being back, so far apart from one thing, The bins.
The bins?
Collecting a small bin every 2 weeks? What is that about? In Spain, they take rubbish away daily. I wonder what the situation is like in Japan. Is it the same as it is in the UK? Or is it an everyday thing like in Spain? Keep up the great work, guys. Your super fan, Rob.
Poor old Rob with his great big bin problem.
It's a big problem to have.
What do they do? What do we do here?
Well, at homes,
we take it out like once a week, right?
Well, it depends on where you live, which is very unusual. So in where I live in around Shibuya or Megiddo area, twice a week we can take out burnables and plastics. And then on one other day, we take out cardboards. And then on like a fourth day, like every 2 weeks of the month, we can take out bigger pieces of trash.
Right, yeah.
So on like home life, it's very, very strict on how you split things. It can be.
Yeah, I mean, my apartment block, because it's got like a room where you can chuck rubbish, you can basically just take it there anytime. Although I think they sort of say they prefer like a Thursday. But you get like one day a week, but I just chuck it in the room anytime I want.
Businesses are daily.
Yeah. From the studio, I have to throw it out every Thursday or something. So, yeah, usually there's one day a week, and you have to throw it out in a big bag, right?
Well, in Niigata, when I lived there for a year, you had to buy these special color-coded bags.
Yeah, and we have to do that here in Sendai.
Oh, okay, so we don't have those in Tokyo.
You bastard. You don't have the color-coded bags?
No, there's like green and blue and red to help you sort all your stuff.
Yeah, I've got green and red.
Man, the blue one was like that really special one, but I forgot what it was for. But yeah, so I'd say it's closer to Spain and not at all like England or the UK.
Either way, it's pretty good. I don't have a problem with it.
No. The only problem is, remember this, if you come to Japan, if you have trash outside, you gotta carry it with you until you can find a bin somewhere.
That was the best thing about the UK. If I was holding some rubbish, there's a bin every like 2 meters away. It is annoying, and they've actually removed a lot more bins recently in Tokyo. I always ask why this is, and people sort of cite the sarin gas attacks in Akihabara in 1995, I think it was.
That was a long time ago.
It was, right? And I don't think that's a good enough excuse. Like, an event happened 3 decades ago that did it. Like, in London, we had the fucking London bombings in 2005, and, you know, I get it, but like, I don't think that's a good enough excuse. I think it's just they want people to take their rubbish home and dispose of it in other ways. And the thing is, people in Japan do, right? They're not like British, you know. If there were no bins in the UK, I think we would see a lot more litter in the streets, right? Whereas in Japan, people will take their wrapper and put it in their bag, and they'll keep the stuff on them, the rubbish with them in the bag until they get home.
And now that I think about it, it's not very common that I see a reason or a point for Japanese people to have rubbish outside. Like, they don't eat and walk. They don't kind of, in general, they don't open things and have like a stuff.
It's true.
And if they get like a Starbucks drink or something, it's quite common to just drink it there. They dispose of it. So maybe we're just messy people.
There's a bigger cultural thing in play there, the whole not eating out. We've got one here from George, who says, "Dear Chris and Pete, while I hopefully will be able to visit Japan around May next year with a bunch of friends and family, I really wanted to take 2 or 3 days to go and find a special experience just for myself. I certainly realise that this is a question of personal preference, as Japan could be different things to different people, but what are your recommendations of what the best possible solo travel destination would be that would absolutely blow your mind? Cheers. I've been a fan of you guys since day one, George from Chicago."
Over to Jorge, you, by the way.
Jorge. No, it's spelled J-O-R.
Oh, it's J-O-R. Yeah. Okay, let me think. You're asking me, the guy who's been to like 4 prefectures, to the man who's been 47? But personally speaking, if I could go anywhere in Japan right now, it would be a tiny little island called Yoronjima off of Kagoshima.
What?
Yeah, it's my favorite place. I've been there twice.
Wait.
And once was with a school excursion, and once was with my wife. It was amazing. And it was a beautiful place where the sand barge out in the middle of this beautiful sea, it slowly disappears as the day goes on until you're standing on 1 inch of sand, and you get on the boat and go back to your beautiful, lovely villa.
How far is it from Kagoshima?
It was quite a long ferry, but I don't remember exactly because it was just hanging out. Or I would say tropical stuff like Okinawa, Ishigaki, things like that. It can be a very beautiful place to visit. Mm. But if we're talking like cities, I would say my advice is not something in particular. It's that choose a day or two to go somewhere unplanned in Tokyo or Yokohama and just explore. Just get lost, because I think you're likely to find 5 or 6 really cool places on your own that will be very memorable on your trip.
Yeah, I like doing a double whammy of a trip to... what's the city, the ancient capital just outside of Tokyo, the little seaside town? Kamakura.
Oh, Kamakura, like near Yokohama.
Yeah, I like going to Kamakura for like the morning and then going to Yokohama in the afternoon. That's a cool little day trip from Tokyo.
You can see the Daibutsu, the big Buddha.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I've just been looking up Yoronjima.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near Kagoshima.
It's in Kagoshima Prefecture.
It's in Okinawa, Pete.
No. Yoronjima is part of Kagoshima,
I'm looking at it now. It's Okinawa.
I like that place.
I mean, Okinawa's pretty good. I would go there. And I'm from Tokyo.
Wait, look at that right there.
What?
Yoron Kagoshima District.
Oh, yeah.
See?
What
I knew it was
fuck?
Weird. I used to think it was also part of Okinawa until I was...
No way.
Yeah.
So it's literally right in Okinawa, but there must be some sort of invisible line that determines that it's part of Kagoshima, managed by Kagoshima Prefecture.
Yeah, so...
Well done.
Thank you.
You proved me wrong. I've been humiliated. Although geographically, it's basically Okinawa.
Yeah, it is.
It's probably like... like a 20-minute ride from Okinawa by plane.
Still a great spot.
We got one here from Chris from Michigan.
Do you want me to take this one?
Go on then.
Okay. Hello, Pete and Chris. I'm a huge fan of the corny Renaissance fairs we have in the U.S. of A. I'm very curious. A, what is the European perception of Americans cosplaying as medieval Brits? And B, do they have these things in Japan? Given how much Japan likes theme parks and all, it seems like it could be a popular thing. Wishing you both the coolest coolish and crispiest chicken, Chris from Michigan.
What's a Renaissance fair?
We call it Renfest. It's we basically have we dress up in medieval garbs. It's not specifically UK related. It could be all of Europe during the medieval times. And there's games of chance, like throwing axes or Jacob's ladder, or you eat hunks of chicken.
Jacob's ladder.
Jacob's ladder is a
Tim Robbins movie.
No, it's a rope with the ladder. You have to try to climb to the top, but the rope has like 8 lines of the ladder, but there's no outside bracing, so it can swing wildly.
Oh my lord.
It's just a game of chance, but there's lots of people in tunics and garbs and, you know, saying, "Hello there, my fair lady," like, you know, having fun. And
it's the sort of place Pete would work, basically. It's the sort of place you would work, right?
I had a summer job there. But it's there's tankards of beer and mead. There's swords and blacksmiths and...
We don't have that in Japan, though, do we?
No.
The closest thing is British Hills theme park.
Or Japanese history stuff like Ninja Village.
Ninja Village.
What do you think of this, hearing about it as the first time?
I think it sounds pretty rubbish.
Really?
It's not my thing, to be honest.
It's not really mine either.
It could be good. In the right condition. I like the tankards of beer.
Yes.
You have me at tankards of beer.
Yeah, it's a very... And you know, it's not always like an officially sponsored place you can go year-round. It'll be this weekend only. The Renfest is here in Kansas City.
Do you get to ride a horse with a javelin?
Not with a javelin.
What's it called?
I know, it's jousting.
Jousting.
Yeah, we don't have that. But there are actually a subsect of these people who do these legitimate events where they'll go to empty fields and they'll rent them out. And they'll recreate actual warfare and tents and camps for about a week or two.
Yeah.
And they'll actually fight with...
Jesus.
Real weapons.
Now that sounds good.
It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty serious subculture.
Yeah, there must be something like that in Japan where they have like they reenact like samurai battles.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it's definitely not something I've seen.
I would love to go to that.
So you don't think it's cool that we have Renfest?
It's intriguing. I'd have to see it. I'd like to reenact The Last Samurai. I could be Tom Cruise. I'll get Ken Watanabe.
You got your buddy Ken Watanabe.
We'll charge across the field and get shot by Gatling cannons.
I don't know. I think
Spoilers.
I've got the hair for it. Sorry, buddy. And I think you're not Tom Cruise yet.
Dream on. Well, after my fitness plan, I will be Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you got me there.
I'll be there.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if I can recommend it, but I'm happy to hear that you think it's rubbish.
I don't think it's rubbish. Oh, it's kind of cool. I think it could be interesting.
Mm.
I like the idea of an American cosplaying as a medieval Brit. You'd make a fine Henry VIII.
I think I'd be a Falstaff. I'd be the jester of some sort, I imagine. But
bloody hell.
Yeah.
Keep the story. Well, guys, that's it for now. I'm just throwing pee out the window. Actually, you are going to be around later in the week for the second podcast.
Yeah, though. Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
So Pete will be back later in the week while Pete Donaldson is on holiday, having a wonderful time. We'll be back with Pete, American Pete.
Do I get to be Panasonic Pete forever? Was that for me?
No, that was the other one.
Damn it.
That was good, Pete. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here, do all over again, on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Goodbye, maidens!
I've gone deaf in my right ear.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.